We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who died for us, the one who is living for us, the one who's making intercession for us even now, the one who knows exactly what you're thinking about right now, whether your mind is on what he has for you or whether it's on what you're going to do tomorrow. But I trust that as we look into the Word of God, your mind will be stayed and will be fastened on the Word of God and what his will is for us. You can turn into your Bibles to Psalm 138. And we want to look at verse 2. The title of the message is Discerning the Truth. It is something that we so desperately need to hear today. You would think, with all of the books that are available today, with all of the helps that are available today, that we would not have any problem of discerning the truth. But, you know, I think that makes it much worse. There are so many voices speaking to us today. People ask, what is the truth? And I was thinking of old Pilate. Remember, many years ago, Pilate was standing in the judgment hall. Jesus was there with him. And finally, Pilate said to ask Jesus, what is truth? But you know, too many of us are like Pilate. He didn't even wait till Jesus answered him, what is truth? You know, I wonder how sincere Pilate really was in wanting to know the truth. I wonder how sincere we are today in really wanting to know what the truth is. Do you really want to know what the truth is? You know, I read where some people think this way. There's a truth whether we know it or not. There's a truth whether we believe it or not. And there is a truth whether we like it or not. Some people don't like the truth, so they don't want to hear it. You know, I don't go to the doctor very often because I don't want to know what's wrong with me. I hope there's nothing wrong with me. But my children think I should go to the doctor and get a checkup. I said, I don't need a checkup because I'm still going. And just old people get checkups, and I'm not old. And so we need to check up this morning, though, in our spiritual lives against the Word of God, what he has to say to us. And he says that it's important that we know the truth. And Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Well, he never did wait till Jesus told him what truth was. So I don't know if Pilate ever did find out what the truth was, but his wife, he should have listened to her a little bit. She said, listen, Mr. Pilate, listen, husband, dear, sweetie, you need to have nothing to do with this just man. But he didn't listen to her. He listened to the Jews. He wasn't interested in what truth is. And I trust this morning that we are all interested in what the truth is. And I want to tell us that we're not going to find the truth by asking people what the truth is. We're not going to find what the truth is by reading a lot of books and commentaries. I have a set of commentaries I got when I was just a young fella. And I thought that would really help me out. Great. Adam Clark, I believe it is. They're still up in the attic collecting dust. I have found that the best concordance, that the best study book is the Word of God. And I love to study the Word of God. And, you know, I have found that many people do not study the Word of God. They come to church. I'm not talking about here. I don't know what you do here. That's why I can be so free to preach, because I don't know what your business is. But I'll probably find out eventually. But anyways, that didn't happen yet. But many people come to church to hear what the Lord has to say to them. Well, listen. Oh, and yeah, by the way, I never heard this here, and I hope I never do, but when people pray, they say, now, Lord Jesus, we come into thy presence this morning. And I say, well, I think Jesus said, whoa, wait a minute. What are you talking about? You come into my presence. You're supposed to live in my presence. And if we want to know what the Word of God is, we will live in his presence. Not just Sunday, but every day of the week. In fact, I think it's almost more important to live in his presence during the week than it is on Sunday, but I do think it's important to live all every day, every minute of the day, in the presence of God. And you know what? If our heart is on discerning the Word of God, that's where we're going to want to be all the time. Our responsibility is to know what the Word of God says, so that when he uses us, it opens up the opportunities for us to preach and to teach and to tell others of the love of Christ. We are able to do that because we know what the Word of God says. I want you to pray for me. We're working at a place up in Lawrenceville, New York. It's in Pennsylvania. It's just about a block from New York. And I was told that there's an old, well, he's not old. He's not as old as I am. So I guess he's a young man. And he's a grouch. And nobody in town likes him. And they they just won't have anything to do with him. And I parked my pickup. I guess it was a little bit on his walk. And he didn't, I don't know where I was, but I left to sit there. And he came out and he said, "You're on private property. You need to move that pickup." And so one of our workers got in there and moved the pickup. I said, "Well, I wished I could have seen him. I wished I could talk to him. I'd like to lead him to Jesus." Oh, you know, what a tremendous testimony that would be to the community to have this. Nobody likes him, they said. And I said, "I'm going to talk to that man. I want to make friends with him. I want to lead him to Jesus." And they said, "Oh, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time." Well, that's what our time is here for, to tell others about Jesus. And what are we going to say? Well, many people are afraid to witness. They're afraid to testify because they don't know what to say. Just tell them what the Lord did for you. Tell them what the Word of God says. Oh, we need to know what the Word of God says. Well, you know, I have to look at my notes because sometimes I run down rabbit trails. And you know, sometimes preachers run down rabbit trails and never do get rabbits. And sometimes they run down rabbit trails and they come back with rabbits. I hope I come back with rabbits if I go down the rabbit trails. But anyways, we see that it's so important. George Barna said that most Americans determine the truth by how they feel. How do you determine the truth? Is it what someone told you, or is it what the Word of God has said as you read the Word of God? How do you determine what the truth is? Well, the proverb writer, he was a wise man. He says this in Proverb 14:12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now, a lot of people says, it seems to me that this is the right way to go. Well, we can't go by what seems to us because the Scripture tells us that we just don't know. And so we need to know what the Bible says, what the Word of God says, because that is the power. And that is the message and the mind of Christ, to know what the Word of God says. Many people cannot deal with the truth, and therefore they don't want to know it. I don't know what your heart is this morning, but I trust that it is you want to know what the Word of God says. You want to know what His will is for your life. You want to do what He asks you to do. Now let's look at that verse in Psalm 138, verse 2. I think you had enough time to get there by now. And it says in verse 2, "I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." I remember a number of years ago, I was preaching at, I believe it was Huntington Prison. We were having a crusade there. And I mentioned this verse, and someone said, "Oh, no. You have that all wrong." And so they got their German Bibles out, and I just can't follow German because I don't know German. But I just said what the King James said, that God has magnified His word above all His name. Now, John tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I thought I need to study this a little bit, see what I can learn from this about discerning the truth. Now, it's important to know that as we look at different kings in the Scriptures, and I want to look at King Nebuchadnezzar a little bit. And you know the story about the three Hebrew children. I love that story because they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, and it didn't matter how hot the furnace was, they wouldn't burn because God was with them. And I think they were just having a good time in there, walking around with, and Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and he said he saw four people. And the fourth one was like the Son of God. Well, it was the Son of God. He was with them. And so, you know, Nebuchadnezzar made this decree that anyone who doesn't bow down and worship this image that he made, which was supposed to represent himself, they're going to be done away with. They're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Well, he changed his word, didn't he? When the three Hebrew children did not burn up, he had to change his word. And he said, now whoever doesn't serve and worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is going to be done away with. So he changed his word because he was king. He could do that. And so did Darius change his word with Daniel. Whosoever does ask any god of a petition within 30 days is going to be cast into the lion's den. Now that's not a very good thing to look forward to. You know, Daniel could have pulled the blinds down in his house, but he didn't. He just did the same as he always did. He trusted God. He discerned the truth and he believed that God was able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which he was even able to ask or think. And so, you know the story, how the king signed this, and all the princes and all those important people said, "Now, listen, king, you know that this can't be changed." And so they got Daniel caught, they thought, in a snare. And he was thrown into prison, or in the lion's den. And the next morning, the old king, he couldn't sleep all night. He didn't want didn't want any music. He didn't want any of that stuff going on, because he couldn't sleep. And he just kept thinking about Daniel. But he said to Daniel, before he threw him in, he said, "Daniel, I know that the God that you serve is able to deliver you." And so, I don't know whether he believed that or not, but at least he said it. And he was right. So anyways, he went out the next morning, and Daniel was still there. I think Daniel had one of the most comfortable nights he ever had. I mean, he had a heated water bed. I don't know if it was water bed, but meat bed or whatever it was. It was nice and comfortable. And I don't think Daniel worried a bit about it. He was just quite comfortable. So anyways, we see how Darius changed his law. And I want to show us that this happens because they're king. They can do that. But God is our king. But he has promised us that he will never, ever change his word. Because even though he is king, and he could do that if he wanted to, because we saw where other kings did, he will not do that. He says, "I have magnified my word above my name." So you can depend on what I have said in my word, I am going to fulfill it. I'm not going to change it. No situation is going to change my word. It's going to forever be settled in heaven. And so what a blessing that is. Well, we see that Brother Isaiah, in chapter 30 and verse 8 to 10, here's what the people wanted in his day. And I think it'd be quite the same as our day. He says, God says, "Now go, write it before them at the table, and note in the book that it may be made before the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, 'See not,' and to the prophets, 'Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits.'" How would you like to go to your doctor and you know you have a problem, or something's wrong with you, and he says, and you just tell him, "Now, I just want you to tell me what's good. Just tell me what's good. I don't really want to know what's bad. I'll pay you. I'll just pay you to go ahead and tell me something that's good about me, and so I don't need to worry about it." You would say, "That's foolishness. Why would you ever pay some doctor to tell you something good, or to tell you something that's not true?" And so this is what they want the preachers to do today, and this is what the preachers are doing all over the country. They're prophesying things that the people want to hear. Why? Because it pads their pocketbook. Well, that's not discerning the truth, is it? Poor old Isaiah, he was in a bad way. In Isaiah 6:11, listen, I don't know how you preachers would handle this, but Isaiah, as God told Isaiah, he said, "I want you to go preach to these people, my people." He said, "They're going to hear, they have ears to hear, but they're not going to hear. They're not going to pay attention to you. And they're just not going to give you a lick of attention. They're just going to keep on doing what they want to do." And poor old Isaiah, he says, "Well, how long shall I do this, Lord?" Can you imagine standing up preaching to a congregation where the congregation is sleeping? And, you know, I was at a congregation not too awful long ago. And the young people, and I don't see any of you young people, hallelujah, thank you for that. I mean, they were playing with their little phones. I think your little cell phones ought to stay out in the car when you're in church. You know, we want to discern what the truth is, and so we want to listen to God. And it's very irreverent, I think, to play with your little phones when God is trying to speak to you. Now, that's extra. I mean, that's just free. But it's such a blessing to be able to see people who want to know what the Word of God says, who are listening to what the Word of God says, and not carrying on, not writing notes, not sending texts, not doing things that disrupt others. It is a disruption when you're behind somebody who's doing those kind of things. And you know, God is not honored and glorified. But God said to Isaiah, "You just go ahead and preach. I just want you to preach to these people. As long as there's no one to, you just keep preaching until there's no one else to preach to." And so what is the standard of truth? What is it? Whether it's for Christians or non-Christians, it's one standard, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God is our only standard. You know, I was thinking of carpenters. Now, I guess the Fisher brothers are carpenters, that's right. You build buildings. Do you use something that's called a tape measure? Yeah, I would imagine you do. And they're probably all the same. I mean, they might be different colors, but I mean, the readings on the numbers are all the same, right? Well, huh?
Supposed to be.
Yeah. Now listen, we were putting in some junction boxes. They're like cement, big things you put along the road. And they're like maybe 2,500 pounds. You don't move them very easily. And we were putting this in one day, and I said to the one man, I had a tape measure, and he had a tape measure, and we were trying to line this thing up with the road so it looked nice. And they tell me I'm too fussy anyways, but I think we ought to do good when we're working for the Lord when we are out working. You know, whatsoever your hand finds to do, you do with all your might. And so we want to do this for the Lord. And when you're doing dishes, do it as unto the Lord. Get them clean. And put your heart into it. Don't do it haphazardly. And that's the way for everyone else. Whatever we are doing, whatever our vocation is, put your whole heart into it. Whether it's out in the garden pulling weeds, whatever it is. Yeah, you say, how can I be happy pulling weeds? Well, every weed you pull is one less curse that was put on the earth. And I say, hallelujah, there's one more or less curse. Well, I never did like working in the garden a whole lot, but I did anyways. And so this tape measure, we were out measuring this junction box. And I said, what does your ruler read? He said, what does yours read? And I said, well, mine says 10 and a quarter. He said, well, that's what mine is. Well, now that's peculiar. So I pulled my ruler out and I went over and measured his. And I said, yours isn't 10 and a quarter. Yours is 10 and a half. Well, it's all good. He said, you'll never see it from my place. Well, see, that's what people do with the Word of God. They say, well, whatever, it's good enough for me. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. And so that's what happens. Well, my preacher said, or my Sunday school teacher said, or my friend said that's really what the Bible says really doesn't matter anymore. Yes, it does matter. Well, Jeremiah, Brother Jeremiah, he had a hard road to hoe. He became discouraged. And I imagine probably sometimes the preachers and the teachers become discouraged because it seems like no one's getting it. And he said, and he was being accused. Jeremiah threw it in the pit, and they were going to kill him. They threatened to kill him and all of those things. And he says, well, he had himself a pity party. Do you ever have yourself a pity party because nothing's going right? Everybody's against you? And you say, well, what's the use? And so Jeremiah, he said, what's the use, Lord? So he had himself a pity party. And you know what he says? I said that I will not make mention of him in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. I will not make mention of the Lord. I won't speak any more in his name. Oh, but what happened? Oh, I like what happened. The word of God burned in his heart. But he said, the word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Oh, I just ask God that if that's your plight today, that you decided that you're not going to speak anymore in the word of the Lord because people are making fun of you, because they aren't listening, because of this or because of that, that the word of God burns so hot in your bones and in your heart and in your soul that you can't help it. Speak the words of God. Well, Jeremiah, he got over that in a hurry. Well, whatever we read, whatever we listen to, whatever we ask ourselves, we have to ask the question, does it agree with the word of God? Does it agree with the truth, the Bible? Does it agree with the commandments that are in the Word of God? Does it agree with his principles? Does it agree with God's character? Does it agree with the Word made flesh, which is Jesus Christ? Jesus said in verse 6 of chapter 14 of John, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto me except, no man can come unto the Father except by me. In John 6:63, he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Oh, I tell you, it's so important that we know what the Word of God says, that we are able to discern what the truth says. Truth can easily be suppressed, and it's being suppressed by many Christians today, or so-called Christians today. They don't want to live according to the Word of God. They don't want to live according to the principles of God. They say, that's no fun. Someone told me a number of years ago that the way that I live and the things that I believe, I'm just living in bondage. And I said, well, it's the best bondage I've ever known. And I'll tell you what, I enjoy every minute of it, of that bondage, if that's what it is. But we know that it's not bondage, it's freedom in Christ. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, he said, listen, time's going to come when they turn their ears away from the truth, and they're going to be turned unto fables. Oh, you know, when we were little children, I went to public school. I wasn't raised like a lot of you were. I didn't have the privilege of being raised in an Anabaptist church. But, you know, I think it's good that I had to dig in and find my own convictions and develop my own convictions according to the Word of God. So I don't have any apologies for that. But I remember going to school, in grade school especially, and we would have these storybooks. They were fairy tales. They started out with once upon a time, and they would end up and they lived happily ever after. You know, that's how the Christians want to do. They don't want any conflicts. They want everything just once upon a time, and then they lived happily ever after. Well, you know, only as we live according to the Word of God are we going to live happily ever after. But Jesus said that if I have suffered persecution, we heard that last week, you're going to suffer persecution too. Yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you aren't suffering persecution, if people aren't looking at you funny and making fun of you and rolling their eyes at you, there's something wrong. Something wrong. You better see if you're with them or if you're with the Scriptures, what it has to say. Well, Paul also tells us in Romans 1:25, and I thought this was rather interesting. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, I just want to make sure that we understand that we can't change the truth of God. I mean, what the truth of God says is going to stand forever, but the way we live, it looks like we're changing it into a lie according to the world. They look at us and they say, that's different than what I remember being taught and being heard preached in church. Well, what the Scriptures is telling us is they changed the truth of God into a lie. How did they do that? Why did they do that? Well, verse 21 and verse 22 says, because that they, when they knew God, see, these are people who used to know God. They knew God, but they glorified him not as God. Now, this is what I think is important. Neither were they thankful. Neither were they thankful. You see the importance of being thankful. How often, when last, have you told God, told Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you. I love you, Lord Jesus. I get awake every morning and go to sleep every night and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love you. I love you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Holy Ghost. I think it's a good practice to get into, but I think we need to mean it. We need to be honest and we need to be sincere and thank God for what he has done. You know, unthankful people become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart is darkened. They profess themselves to be wise, but they become fools. No wonder this world is in such a shape that it's in. No wonder Christianity is in the shape that it's in, because people are not thankful. They think they deserve everything. Young people today are not thankful for the health that they have and the ability that they have to be able to work. No, they want their paycheck without working. They want to... They just want. It just doesn't matter what it is. They just want, and they don't want to give. Well, discerning the truth, it's imperative because it forms the basis for proper judgment, wise decisions, and loving actions. You know, not nearly every source of information is true. It's not accurate. It's not reliable. We can easily be misled by false appearances. We can easily be misled by ignorance, by being confused, by not having complete information, or being deceived by an adversary. You say, what are you talking about, being deceived by an adversary? Well, Mrs. Eve, remember her? She was deceived by an adversary. She was perfect. I hear people talking, it disturbs me. They say, I just talk to the devil, and I just tell the devil this, and I tell the devil that. That's what happened to Eve. she started having a conversation with the devil, and he caught her. And he'll catch you too. Don't you fool, don't you waste your time talking to the devil. You talk to Jesus. You read his word. Let him take care of the devil. Let the word of God take care of the devil. I'll tell you, people told me and tell me different times, I told the devil what to do. You can tell the devil what to do. What we must do is follow the word of God. We must draw ourselves close to the word of God, discern the truth, know the truth. Well, how are we going to know the truth? Well, God actively speaks to us every day and he reveals his truth to us. But the only way that can happen is if we get ourselves, saturate ourselves in the word of God. You say, I don't have time to read the word of God. Well, then get up so you can read it. I don't have much time for people who set their alarms and then they just keep pushing on the snooze and pushing on the snooze. Just set your alarm for what time you want to get up and get up. And then give yourself time so that you can get into the word of God. So that you can study the word of God, meditate upon it, and then think about it during the day. Oh, I tell you, it'll make you a different person. You'll be enthused all day long. You won't have to wait till Sunday to get enthused. I just enjoy every day. I just say, now God, what for opportunities am I going to have today? You say, well, if I just had a different job, then I would have more opportunities. No, he'll give you opportunities no matter what your job is. God does that. And we just need to be open to his opportunities. We need to be saturated with his word, filled with the Holy Ghost in our lives. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I'll tell you, that's what we need. We need sheep that will hear the voice of God, hear the voice of Christ, not just hear it, but know that voice. You know, there's so many voices speaking to us today. Voices all around, all kinds of voices speaking to us. And we need to be in tune with the Master Shepherd. Know his voice. And then not only know his voice, but listen to his voice and follow his voice. Our desire should be want to know God better. Want to learn how to hear and discern his voice more clearly. And I believe with all of my heart as we read the scriptures, as we study the scriptures, and as we meditate on the scriptures and memorize the scriptures, we're going to know the word of God. We're going to know the voice of God. We're going to know the will of God much more clearly. We can't depend on our parents to lead us and to keep us in this life. There's only one who can keep us, and that's Christ Jesus and his word. This isn't something that we arrive at instantly. It would be nice, wouldn't it? If we didn't have to study, if when we became Christians, he would just pour everything into our head. Well, it'd probably blow our heads apart because it'd be too much for us to contain at one time. That's why we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a process that God sets us through. He brings things into our life to not drive us further away from him, but to draw us closer to him. So that we need to dig into his word, because we want to dig into his word, because we want to know what his will is for us, because we want to do what he asks us to do and what he wants us to do. And as we get to know him better, our ability to discern his voice from the voices that we hear all around about us becomes more clear. It becomes more improved. And so when we hear those other voices telling us that, well, you don't need to do this. Yes, I know the scripture says that, but you don't need to do that because that was for them back in those days, in the old days. And I heard people say that they would talk about the promises of God. And they would say, well, that promise was for the Jews. That's not for us. I said, well, if that's the case, then I'll just haul off and be a Jew because I want that promise too. Whatever the promises are in God's word, I want them all. And if I have to become a Jew to get them, I'll be a Jew. If I have to be a Gentile to get them, I'll be a Gentile. I just believe the word of God, what he says. And I just want to do whatever I need to do to be in God's will, whatever it takes. We learn God's nature. We learn his character. We learn things that we would not likely learn. We would not likely be involved in if we didn't know the word of God. And the more we know the word of God, the more we understand the word of God, the closer we draw to him, and the easier it is to become more like him and to recognize his voice. We sing the song, "Oh, to be like thee, precious Redeemer." Oh, I just heard my brother today speak or reading the scriptures. I believe it was. I do always those things that please my Father, which is in heaven. Man, I wished I could say that honestly. But there's times when I fall short. And you know, if it were possible that we could live a life of perfection 24/7, 365, we wouldn't need Jesus then, would we? I'm so thankful that about the time that we think that we have attained and conquered everything there is to conquer, something comes along and I'm not glad we fail, but I'm glad that something happens that we realize that we can't do this in our own strength. We need Jesus Christ living within us at all times. When we think we have a revelation or an experience with God, it might not be really from God. You know, there's many voices, as I said, speaking to us. And it might be the imagination of our heart or our mind. You know, Brother Jeremiah again says in 17:9, you know what the scripture says. He says the heart is deceitful above all things. Now people say, now if I believe my heart, if I can trust my heart, then I know that this is right or this is wrong or whatever. And Jeremiah said, you can't trust your heart. Or he says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Now, you know what deceitful means. It deceives us. And he says, and desperately wicked. Now, I'm not an English student, but I'll tell you one thing. I know that desperately wicked is a lot worse than just being wicked. And he said, that's what the heart's like. Can you imagine? The heart is desperately wicked. And so people say, I just trust my heart. No, you can't trust your heart. You need to trust the Word of God. Because our hearts, the scripture says, are desperately wicked. But you know, I know somebody who can take that wickedness away and put his love and put his blood in our hearts and lives. That's why we need to continually be washed in the blood of Christ, because life and surroundings are so filthy that we need continually cleansing his blood. You know, sometimes our flesh and our own desires come along and we try to convince ourselves that the desires of our heart are really God speaking to us and making his promises to us. But we need to know what the Word of God says concerning these things. And how do we tell these different voices apart? We need to know what the real is. You know, I don't know if I could make a good bank clerk or not, a teller or whatever they call them, because I don't know if I would find, I mean, I don't know if I'd know the difference between a good dollar bill and a fake dollar bill. But they seem to know that. But you know, we should know, as God's people, we should know when someone comes to us with fake information concerning what the scripture says. We should know enough of the scripture or learn to know it, or at least know where to go to ask, is this so? We need to be more like the Bereans, who searched the scriptures daily to see whether the preachers were telling them the truth or not. Now, I believe these preachers here would tell us the truth, but you know, there's a lot of places where they don't. A lot of places where they preach because if they just tell people what they like to hear, they get more money and they still have a job. Well, scripture is very important because it's the measuring stick by which we evaluate all experiences with God. We know that God doesn't change. We know that the Bible is his word and it's true and reliable. We can always depend upon that. It will never change. It will always be the same. We know that God will not do or say anything in our day that contradicts what he has already said in the written word. You know, I hear people all the time say, well, that was for their day, and we're living in different days. We're living in different circumstances. Well, his word is good for all circumstances. Isn't that wonderful? But we still eat the same food, don't we? And that still works in our bodies. We drink the same water, and that still works in our bodies that they drank back in the Garden of Eden. I suppose it was a lot more pure back then, maybe a lot better taste than back then, but still sustained the body just like it does today. Well, the more we get to know the scriptures, the more we get to know what God is like. The more we trust him, the more we depend upon him, the more we get to know him. And if there's ever a situation that contradicts the Bible, then we automatically consider that situation faulty and it's not of God. Don't even question it. If it contradicts what the Word of God says, throw it out, get rid of it. Our English word discern means to separate, to distinguish between, and to come, and it comes from the Latin word to sift apart. We need to have discernment. We need to sift everything that we hear, sift it. Now, combines do that now more than what they used to in the olden days. I mean, I didn't do that back then either. They used to thrash, and I didn't get in on that, but I got thrashing, so, when I was growing up. At least that's what they called them, and it was uncomfortable, but thrashing separates the wheat from the chaff. Now, you know, there's a lot of sifting that we need to do. I'm not against reading books. I don't do that much. You probably picked that up already by the way I talk. But I do like Christian biographies of people who served the Lord in different places, different areas. I like to read Christian biographies, but I have found that when I sit down to read, I fall asleep. And I guess that's a sign of middle age. But it's good, it's all right to read, but make sure that you compare whatever it is with the Word of God, that you don't become deceived. Well, the Scripture gives us many basic principles and reasons for discernment, and I want to hurry on here. There's just six of them, and I don't think it's going to take that long. The first one is the glory of God's holy name in public arena is at stake. Now, you call yourself a Christian, people's looking at you. They know what a Christian should be like more than a lot of church people know what a Christian should be like. They can tell you what they would expect of a Christian. And you know, I think it's better not to call yourself a Christian if you're not going to live a Christian life. If you're not going to live according to the Word of God, don't even call yourself a Christian, because it brings reproach and it brings disgrace to the Word of God and to the Lord Jesus himself. In 1 Peter 2:9, Peter tells us that we're a chosen generation, we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him that hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we're either going to exalt or we're going to profane God's holy name based upon whether we distinguish between the holy and profane. We have a tremendous responsibility in calling ourselves Christians and telling others that we believe God, that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a tremendous responsibility to live so that we bring honor and glory to Christ. You know, we're going to either help others or we're going to hinder them in understanding God's word, depending on how we live, depending on how our character is. And so we need to discern what the Scriptures is. We need to discern what God's will is, how he wants us to live, what he wants us to do. We need to be prepared to tell others of the love of Christ. You know, the worldly brand of Christianity is so prevalent in our day. It's all around us. Everywhere we look, we see it. And it certainly doesn't reflect the holiness of God. And that's the reason that we must reject it, that we must follow the Word of God. You know, holiness is something that is not practiced among most people today. They don't know what a holy life is. They want a life of contentment, they want a life of ease, they want a life of enjoyment. But I'll tell you, the only life that the Christian should have is a life of holiness. God is holy. No, God is holy, holy, holy. And so he wants his people to be also holy. Be ye holy, even as I am holy, he says. And we can only do that through the strength that he gives us. Well, the second one is God's people need to clearly identify the truth. Don't be shady in identifying the truth. Don't be haphazard in identifying the truth. John tells us in 1 John in chapter 4, verse 4 to 6, he says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." You know, there's only one way to discern the spirit of God, and that is to know the word of God. Only one way to discern the truth is to recognize the spirit of God and to follow the spirit of God. We don't have to coin ourselves with all the falsehoods that are out there today, with all the false cults, false religions, false doctrines. just know the true doctrine, know the Word of God, and we'll be able to discern what is wrong and what is not right. Well, you say, how can I do that? Well, we need to take our personal time with Christ every day. It's so important. How are you going to learn if you just don't? I mean, I get up early. I get up 2 o'clock a lot of mornings, and I have my time with God, have my time with Christ, and I just can't stress how important that is to spend time alone with Christ in His Word, to pray, not just pray for yourself, but pray for others. It's so important that we do that. It's so important that we pay attention when the Word of God is preached, when it is taught. Pay attention. Keep your eyes on the speaker as much as you can. Listen to them. And ask God to, if you don't understand it, ask God to illuminate it to you through His Holy Spirit. He will do that. Well, the result of knowing God is fellowshipping with His people and remaining in the truth. God expects His people to fellowship one with another. We need to encourage one another. We need to exhort one another. And we need to be a blessing one to another. As we keep Christ the focus, then we're able to help others keep Christ as their focus. Well, the third one is, if we can discern the truth, then we can help a wandering, professing Christian. You know, there's a lot of wandering, professing Christians. They're just staggering around, wandering around, stumbling around, not knowing what to do, where to go. We can help them if we know the Word of God. We see what they're struggling with. We see what they're dealing with, what their questions are. We have the opportunity to share with them what the Word of God says. James says in 5:19-20, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." That's interesting. You know, the scripture tells us in Psalm, I believe it is, "Whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper." You believe that? Whosoever covereth his... I believe in covering sins, don't you? Well, I'll tell you, whosoever covers his sin won't prosper. I'll tell you one thing. You let God cover your sins and you'll prosper. Yes. And I wasn't going to say this, but I just happened to think of it. And I guess I have time. There was an older man who had a worldly son, like a lot of people do. And this old man, he was just always praising the Lord. He just had something all the time to praise the Lord by. And so his worldly boy, he found this geography book. And he said, I'll shut my dad up for a while. And so he brought this geography book in and gave it to his dad. He said, "Here, Dad, you read this a while." And so the boy gave it to his dad, and he went back outside to work. And pretty soon, it wasn't long until he heard his dad say, "Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus." No worldly boy, he didn't know what to think. So he came in, he said, "Dad, what's going on?" "My dad said, I was reading this book that you gave me, and here it says that in some places, the ocean is over 3 miles deep." And he said, "Oh, what a blessing, because God said that he buries my sins in the depths of the sea." He said, "Son, they're over three miles deep, my sins are. And what a blessing it is. You know, God, when he buries our sins, when he covers our sins with the blood of Jesus Christ, he can't see it. The devil does. He likes to bring them back up. But when we say something to Christ, our sins are under the blood, he says, I don't know what you're talking about. They're under the blood, and we need to leave that there. Well, anyways, we need to be able to discern the truth of God. Some Christians wander away from the truth of God, and they never do come back because they believe the lie that Satan has been telling the people from the time of Adam and Eve, that yea hath God said. Are you sure that's really what he means? You know, that really perturbs me. Am I allowed to get perturbed? It perturbs me when I hear people saying, "Well, now they read the scripture. Now I think this is what God means." You know, God is so much smarter than we. You know, God will tell us what he means, and he'll say what he means and means what he says. We don't have to try to help God out. When God says something, that's what he means. And so many people get confused, or at least they let on that they're confused so that they don't have to listen to the word of God, so that they can continue on in their own plans, doing what they want to do. Those who discern the truth understand that disobedience has drastic consequences. You know, there's no convenient stopping place in the life of a disobedient person. Well, number four, discerning the truth enhances godly confidence that gives us boldness. I'll tell you, we need Christians who have boldness. And that's one of the great aspects or I don't know what the word qualities of the Holy Ghost is. He gives boldness. The Holy Ghost gives boldness. We need, as God's people, we need filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Give us boldness. Don't be afraid to speak wherever we are. There's nothing to be ashamed of. And so he gives discernment. It gives us boldness. When we know what the Scripture says, when we believe what the Scripture says, when we can discern the truth, it gives us boldness. I think of old Daniel again, Brother Daniel. He was living in the time of Belshazzar. And, you know, Mr. Belshazzar, he got his servants together and they got these vessels and they started drinking and they got drunk. And you know what happens to people when they get drunk, they act like they're crazy. And so he was there having a good time. And all at once, Belshazzar saw a hand writing on the wall. He didn't know what it said. He got scared. I believe old Belshazzar was there shaking, and he was quivering because here's something that someone wrote on there. He didn't see who it was, but he saw the handwriting on the wall. And so he called for all the big shots, and they came in. They said, "Well, we don't know what that says. It's just like German to me. They don't know what it says." And he said, "I need to know what it says." And so they said, "Well, there's a man in your kingdom. He's filled with the spirit of the gods." No, they had too many gods. It was just one with a capital G. And he'll know what that says. They said, "Well, bring him in. Just bring him in." And so in comes Daniel. He didn't smell like whiskey. He come in. He was sober. And he says, "Yes, king, did you call for me?" And the king says, "Yes, I did." Belshazzar says, "Yes, I called for you." He says, "You see that writing on the hand on the wall there?" Daniel says, "Yeah, I see that." It was in his language. He understood every word of it. I mean, it was just his natural language that was on the wall. And the king said, "Well, hurry up and tell me what it says. Tell me." He was just all worked up. Daniel said, "No, you don't need to get in any hurry. Just take your time." He said, and I think old Daniel preached him a sermon and just told him how it was. And you know what? As I was studying this, I was thinking, you know, Daniel knew what that message said. And it said that this night, you're going to die this night. Now, what would you have done? Daniel knew that he was going to die, that Belshazzar was going to die anyways. Why tell him? Just tell him, "Oh, well, that doesn't mean much. Don't worry about that." No, Daniel didn't do that. Daniel was a man of God. He was a man of discernment. He said, "Listen here, Belshazzar. You've been found in you've been weighed in the balances, and you're found wanting. And this night is going to be the end. So you need to get yourself prepared." You know, I wonder how many times, because we neglect to tell people when God is putting the burden on our heart, and we neglect to tell people what the Word of God says, and then they leave this life into eternity because we failed to tell them they're in eternity without Christ. I just wonder how often that happens. I trust that we take that seriously and take every opportunity that we have to share the gospel with others. Well, the spiritual man discerns all things, yet he's not discerned. He's not judged by anyone because the Word of God has already judged him. You know, because we know God's Word and have His Holy Spirit and we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we can have confidence in appraising things. Oh, we don't need to worry. We don't need to double guess ourselves. When we stand on the Word of God, when we have submitted ourselves to God's standard, then we can discern the teachings of God. We behave like God behaves. We behave like Christ behaves. Number five, discerning the truth will keep us from being partners or partakers with other men's sins. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but you can read it in 2 John verse 8 to 11 of the false doctors, false doctrines, false teachers that come our way. We need to make sure that we're not part of their scheme, part of that false doctrine. We need to make sure that we don't participate in their wickedness. But you know, if we can't discern, we aren't going to know. This text, I believe, is one of the most overlooked texts in Christendom today. And it's having spiritual deathly effects on many people because they don't know. They don't care. They haven't studied. And they'll just buy anything. They'll listen to anything. Anything that consoles them. Anything they'll read that comforts them. Gives them false hope. That's all they want to know. The text tells us that we can participate in other men's wickedness through supporting them through even though they have evil, false teaching. People described here are not following the teaching of Christ. They're following the teaching of man, and they don't know. They don't have the discernment to know whether what they're listening to, whether what they're reading is true or not. All they know is that just that's what they want to hear. That's what makes them feel good. Well, you and I are responsible for knowing and for doing. We're responsible for knowing the truth, telling the truth, and obeying the truth. And the last one we want to look at is our discernment directly relates to our judgment by Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We should discern the truth because each one of us are going to have to give an account to Christ at his judgment seat. And I'll tell you, it should behoove us. It should behoove us to know what the Word of God says and not be ashamed of the Word of God, but to share the Word of God with all of those who he gives us the opportunity to share it with. What is the basis of this judgment? It's his written word. Oh, I tell you, when I went to public school, I never do remember any of my teachers giving me the answer key. I mean, that would have made school a lot nicer for me, a lot more fun for me if they'd have just given me the answer key. I think I could have made better grades if they'd have just given me the answer key. Well, we have the answer key. Christ told us what he expects of us. He told us, he gave us all the answers in his word of what he expects. You know, what is the basis of our responsibility? It's the Word of God, what the Word of God says. You know, there's going to be a lot of excuses. I just wrote down a couple that came to my mind. A lot of excuses are going to be given, but I'll tell you what, it's not going to make any difference if we answer these excuses in this way. Some people say, well, I thought that since other Christians who are really good Christians were not overly concerned about your Word, they said since it was really written for them way back then, I feel free to live as I thought best, since God really wants me to be happy. I only did what everyone else did. You think that's going to stand up in the judgment day? Not in your life. No, Christ is going to say, no, that won't cut it. You had my word. You knew what my will was for you, and you didn't do it. My brother or my sister who didn't really want to be so peculiar wanted me to do what they did so that we could be alike, so that we could live the same, so that there would be unity between us. It really wasn't any big deal. I just made a mistake. That's not going to cut it. God's going to say, you had my word. You had the opportunity to read my word. You had the opportunity to listen to sound doctrine, and yet you didn't do that. My pastor, my Sunday school teacher, my friend, the radio preacher, the book that I read told me that God doesn't really expect me to live according to his word. It's only a suggestion. You know, it's only a suggestion. No, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. We're to be separate. We're to be different. We're to be a peculiar people. Well, people say we have to live like the world to win the world. I never saw anybody living like the world, winning the world. I saw it the other way around, the world winning them. Well, I discovered that it's much easier to be a Christian if I was the same as the nominal Christians are. You know, the worldly brand of Christianity. Other good Christians told me that to take the scriptures literally would be living in bondage. Well, we need to take the scriptures literally. We must take the scriptures literally. When Christ says to turn the other cheek, turn the other cheek. Let him deal with the results of that. Oftentimes, we are so surprised that when we live according to the Word of God, things are so different. And we shouldn't be surprised, because that's what He told us. Things will be different. That's how we are an example. That's how we are in a testimony to those that we come in contact with. We should not be surprised when we find that when He will judge us based on His standard, which is His fair Word of God, that we're going to already know. It's going to be what He has already told us ahead of time. There's no need to fear what our answer will be if we're discerning the truth now and rightly dividing the word of truth now. Right now, I trust that we would renew our commitment, our reverence, to continue to reverence God who told us to love, to fear, to enjoy, to suffer, and obey Him by rightly dividing the word of truth, by rightly keeping the word of God, no matter what it costs. I think the proverb writer says, buy the truth and sell it not. No matter how much you can get for it, don't sell it. Someone called yesterday afternoon and told me that, oh, glad to hear you're okay. I said, well, what do you mean, glad to hear him? Well, you're supposed to be at home at 3:00 to take the nurse's place. I said, well, it wasn't on my schedule. And someone where I was said, well, just tell them. I don't even know what they said. I wasn't listening. But in other words, tell them a lie. Oh, no, you can't do that. You won't lie. What a testimony. Is that your testimony? You won't lie. Doesn't matter what it is. You won't lie. You won't deceive. You won't try to get out of something. You won't try to twist something. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according to His divine power, He hath given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us from glory and virtue, whereby He has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. God has given us His standard for living. He has given us the rule book. He has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and to godliness, because it's not His will that any should perish. He has told us what the judgment is going to be like. He has told us what the questions are going to be in the judgment. He has told us everything. And so we have every reason this morning that we should be concerned about discerning the truth. We should make sure that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt what the truth is and stand on the truth no matter what the consequences may be. May God bless you. Thank you for your attention. Let us kneel for prayer.